Well, good afternoon. It's April 5th, 2023. The time is 17:17 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here, and I'm rather upset to report that we've had a power outage here at about 1350 hours. So less than 4 hours ago, but it's been a little bit confusing to try to get back up and running with some reserve power to get me through to making a video now, hopefully. I need Kleenex. I'm sneezing. I'm about to sneeze. I've got to run off my iPad. I'll run off the iPad and try keeping the iPad charged using my battery backup at the same time. I've got some reserve power, but we're expecting the power to come back on again later this evening, so I'm not sure. We've had an ice storm. It's a very bad ice storm. My trees were bent over, and I'll hopefully upload the pictures to show how bad it is. But that explains why the power lines would be damaged or interrupted in terms of power, because the weight of the ice. It's just as bad. It's just as much ice as we had in the very severe ice storm of 1998, except it's very warm these days, so it shouldn't be. I mean, tomorrow's supposed to be, and tonight even, possibly, will be warm, so it should be melting already even. But there was a lot of ice on the trees. So, and I didn't quite see it until after the power failed. Then I went out and I did have a look at it. So, anyway, it's very severe, the power outage, but it's not affecting a lot of people. It's only a few hundred people, a couple hundred people affected by it, and I'm one of those people. Today's study, little children, hopefully we'll be able to do our normal study. Today our study is from Wild Road. It's, again, part one, and it's chapter 5, paragraph 11. And I love you, and that's why I'm making an extra effort to produce the video as usual. We had just finished reading about Joseph giving out rations during the famine and how that corresponded to what was written about Salites or Saites, the king referred to in Manetho, the Egyptian historian. So it looks like Joseph is written about in the story of Manetho, in the record, the historical records of Manetho, but under the name of Salites or Salitis. And also the word Shalit means governor, and we know that Joseph was a governor, and that similarity of the word Shalit to Salitis does identify Joseph as this king, Saites or Salitis. So furthermore, you won't be able to see this on the cam, I don't think, but I'll read it. Furthermore, the identification of Salitis with Joseph is bolstered by a further quote of Manetho by Josephus, which calls Salitis an invader from the east, which is true as Joseph was from Canaan. And this invader from the east, it was who built Avaris. In brackets, Eber equals, that's Eber, E-B-E-R, equals Avar, A-V-A-R. Eber equals Avar, since the vowel B, or the vowel E and A, are rather unimportant in the use of writing in ancient languages. And the B and the V are often equivalent, and the R is in common. So Eber and Avar are essentially the same word. Very much so, and that would appear to be the origin of the name. In other words, Avaris, the name of the city, comes from apparently the father of the Hebrew nation, Eber. And this city, Avaris, was a city of the Delta, also levying tribute from Upper and Lower Egypt, as would agree with Joseph's actions. And you can refer to Genesis 41 and 34, and 47, 24, and 26. Because we know that Joseph collected tribute from Egypt. But maybe we should look that up. Genesis 41 and 34. Genesis 41 and 34. Let Pharaoh act and appoint overseers over the land. And he must take up one-fifth of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of plenty. Those were the words. That Joseph said to Pharaoh, starting in verse 25 of that chapter. And furthermore, 47, 24, and 26 of Genesis. So Genesis 47. When it has resulted in produce, then you must give a fifth to Pharaoh, but four parts will become yours as seed for the field and as food for you and for those who are in your houses and for your little ones to eat. And 26 says, and Joseph proceeded to make it a decree down to this day over the landed estate of Egypt for Pharaoh to have the amount of a fifth. Only the land of the priests as a distinct group did not become Pharaoh's. So he levied tribute on the land where they had to give a fifth of all their produce to Pharaoh, and that was in the years of plenty to ensure that when the famine did arrive, as prophesied by Joseph when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, that the famine years would have stock of supplies that could be used to enable the people to survive those famine years. So since we place Joseph now during the time of Amenemhat II in the 12th dynasty, it appears possible to accept the 12th dynasty as the dynasty of the shepherd kings. That's interesting because we know that Joseph and his brothers were shepherds. So this is the dynasty called the 16th dynasty by Julius Africanus, who gives 518 years as its duration. Listen to this. This is it's very believable because it's so remarkable. Julius Africanus gives 518 years for the duration of this shepherd king's dynasty, a number which added to the year of Israel's arrival at Palestine in 1452, gives a date of 1970 BCE. If we add 518 to 1452, we know 5 and 14 is 19, and 18 and 52 is 70, so it's 1970 BCE. And the modern date for dynasty 12 is 1971 for the first year of that dynasty. That's a remarkable agreement. Very, very remarkable. It's almost exact, and that's a lot of years, 518 years prior to the arrival of Israel in Palestine in 1452 BCE. This dynasty, called the Dynasty of the Shepherd Kings, and called the 16th Dynasty by Julius Africanus, began 1970 or 71, as is commonly the date given by modern historians or chronologists or archaeologists. Consideration of corruption of Dynasties 12 through 17 of Manetho, or by Manetho. These dynasties called 12 through 17. The ice is falling off the house. I can hear it. Big crash. This consideration of the corruption in the records of Manetho reveals that all of these are confused or redundant accounts of the very same years. All these dynasties, 12 through 17, they repeat the same numbers of years over and over, the same records of, sometimes they're records of the same years, but sometimes they're a different part of Egypt during those years, and it's all jumbled together in such a way that it's very confusing. And the importance of that is, for example, if you read the book called Synchronology by Charles Crosthwaite, where he talks about Egypt, he talks about that very thing, about how corrupt the Egyptian dynasties are. And if you added up all the years given, then the beginning of Egypt would be ridiculously early, because you'd be adding up too many years, which are really overlapping and redundant, repetitive records of the same years. That's the end of today's study for that. There's a footnote there, too, if you want to look that up. I would like to do the study of Genesis chapter 36 today as well. This is the history of Esau. If we might do this, I feel like I want to do it. My nerves are very, very frazzled right now, because I had to figure out how to get my Wi-Fi working, and it wasn't working the way it used to work, because I've set it up differently, I guess. So it was a little bit of mind-boggling at first. My thoughts were a bit panicky. You know, I was wondering whether I damaged something or whether there was anything, but I was careful not to change too many things. When you're in an emergency, be careful. And it's probably advisable to not change anything if you can avoid it, because everything you change becomes questionable later on. So I don't change my connections or anything at all if I can avoid it, right? But I might disconnect the power of the modem and reconnect it, because that's a standard procedure. But I couldn't get the Wi-Fi working, and I didn't realize it was because I'd had the Wi-Fi reallocated so that the Wi-Fi comes from my external device that's connected over an Ethernet cable to the router. And the Wi-Fi is not being provided by the router anymore. And so when I just powered up the router, it didn't give me Wi-Fi, so I had to figure out how to power up the other device without disconnecting, you know, or changing anything too much. So it's not really very hard, but I had to make sure I had two different devices connected. I had to make sure I connected the right one. A lot of wires in the dark is what's happening. It's dark here because there's no power. It's not dark in this room, but it's going to be dark here eventually tonight. This is Genesis 36. So this is the history of Esau. We read about the history of Jacob, and Isaac died. We just learned about that at the end of chapter 35. Do you remember? Little children, Isaac died at the age of 180 years old, and Esau and Jacob, his sons, buried him. And this is the history of Esau, that is to say, Edom. Edom means red, of course. We learned that before. I recall that. We're looking at chapter 36. Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan. Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Oholibamah, my throat has gone scratchy on me. Excuse me. I probably should get some water. Need to get a little bit of water here. And not kick any power cords or anything. Not kick anything. Just a minute. I'm tripping on the... I just tripped on something. Did I unplug anything? I don't think so. I don't think it's that... I just needed a little bit, I think, of water to get my throat. I'm reading up close to the iPad, so I don't need my glasses. Esau took his wives. Let's start again. This is the history of Esau, that is to say Edom. Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and the holy Bema, the daughter of Anah, the granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Nebaioth. And Ada proceeded to bear Eliphaz to Esau. And Basemath bore Reuel. And Oholibama bore Jeush and Jalam and Korah. These are the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. After that, Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the souls of his house and his herd and all his other beasts and all his wealth, which he had accumulated in the land of Canaan, and went to a land away from Jacob his brother. Because their goods had become too great for them to dwell together, and the land of their alien residences was not able to sustain them as a result of their herds. Could you imagine how many herds they must have had? If they had to live many, 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 many miles apart. I mean, this is not a very close proximity between the land of Seir, the mountainous region of Seir, and the area near Shechem, where Jacob was dwelling, or where Abraham had dwelt previously, you know, that same area, which is in the southern part of Israel, or the Negev Desert, or somewhere in that southern part of Israel, compared to the land of Seir, which is over beyond in that same area as the Rift Valley of the Araba, the Salt Sea, between the Salt Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba, which is the land of Seir. But it's, I'm not sure how many tens of miles, it must be many tens of miles away. And this is the history of Esau, the father of Edom, in the mountainous region of Seir. Esau is Edom, it says. And this is the history of Esau, the father of Edom, in the mountainous region of Seir. So he's the father of Edom also. These are the names of the sons of Esau: Eliphaz, the son of Ada, Esau's wife; Reuel, the son of Basemath, Esau's wife. And the sons of Eliphaz came to be Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. And Timnah became the concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son. In time she bore to Eliphaz Amalek. These are the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Reuel: Nahath and Zerah, Shammah and Mizah. These came to be the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. And these came to be the sons of Oholibama, the daughter of Anah, the granddaughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife, in that she bore to Esau Jeush and Jalam and Korah. These are the sheikhs of the sons of Esau: the sons of Eliphaz, Esau's firstborn, Sheik Teman, Sheik Omar, Sheik Zepho, Sheik Kenaz, Sheik Korah, Sheik Gatam, Sheik Amalek. These are the sheikhs of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These are the sons by Ada. These are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son: Sheik Nahath, Sheik Zerah, Sheik Shammah, Sheik Mizah. These are the sheikhs of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons by Basemath, Esau's wife. Finally, these are the sons of Oholibama, Esau's wife: Sheik Jeush, Sheik Jalam, Sheik Korah, These are the sheikhs of Aholi Bema, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, and these are their sheikhs. He is Edom. These are the sons of Seir the Horite, the inhabitants of the land. And Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anah, and Dishon, and Ezer, and Dishan. These are the sheikhs of the Horite, the sons of Seir in the land of Edom. And the sons of Lotan came to be Hori and Hemam. And Lotan's sister was Timnah. And these are the sons of Shobal, Alvan and Manahath, and Ebal, Shepho and Onam. And these are the sons of Zibeon, Aya and Anah. This is the Anah who found the hot springs in the wilderness while he was tending the asses for Zibeon, his father. And these are the children of Anah, Dishon and Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah. And these are the sons of Dishon, Hemdan and Eshban and Ithran and Kiran. These are the sons of Ezer, Bilhan and Zeavan and Achan. These are the sons of Dishan, Uz and Aran. These are the sheikhs of the Horite, Sheikh Lotan, Sheikh Shobal, Sheikh Zibeon, Sheikh Anah, Sheikh Dishon, Sheikh Ezer, Sheikh Dishan. These are the sheikhs of the Horite according to their sheikhs in the land of Seir. Now, these are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the sons of Israel. And Bela, son of Beor, proceeded to reign in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhabah. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah from Bozrah, began to reign instead of him. When Jobab died, Husham from the land of the Temanites began to reign instead of him. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated the Midianites in the field of Moab, began to reign instead of him, and the name of his city was Avith. When Hadad died, Samla from Masrika began to reign instead of him. When Samla died, Sheol from Rehoboth by the river began to reign instead of him. When Sheol died, Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, began to reign instead of him. When Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, died, Hadar began to reign instead of him, and the name of his city was Peu, and the name of his wife was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mizahab. So these are the names of the sheikhs of Esau according to their families, according to their places by their names. Sheikh Timnah, Sheikh Alva, Sheikh Jehath, Sheikh Oholibama, Sheikh Elah, Sheikh Pinon, Sheikh Kenaz, Sheikh Teman, Sheikh Mibzar, Sheikh Magdiel, Sheikh Iram. These are the sheikhs of Edom according to their dwellings in the land of their possession. This is Esau, the father of Edom. So he's the father of Edom in the sense that he's the father of the land of Edom. That's the end of this chapter 36 of Genesis. This is Esau, the father of Edom. That statement appears to mean that he's the father of the descendants of Abraham who lived in Edom, or in that area, which is also called Seir, because there was a gentleman there called Seir, the Horite, who was an inhabitant of that land. It was called after his name as well. It was called the land of Edom. It was also called, of course, Edom was the name, another name for Esau, because when he was born, he came out red all over, as it said in the account, as we read. So the other name for that land was called, it was Seir, called after, named after the name of Seir the Horite, one of the inhabitants of the land. So that's the account of Esau. So we don't have to miss out on learning the family details of Esau's family, which is, I'm sure it's important to anybody who's descended from that lineage, because we know, of course, it's not the same as when we had lineages from before the deluge, some of which died off in the deluge, and all of us are descended from Noah and his sons because of that reason that everybody else perished in the deluge. But this is after the deluge. This is sometime around the birth of Jacob and Esau, which is around 2044 BCE, roughly, very close to that date in our chronology, the genealogy. So they were both born, they were twins, Esau and Jacob, and that's the history of Esau. So I think I better end the study by saying I love you very much, and I'd like to try to get this published now. I'm not sure what that's going to be like. I have to get the upload program running on my laptop, I guess, or something like that. But and now that I've got the wireless connected, I guess that's good. It's going to help, possibly, a great deal. I may encounter technical difficulties. I may not be able to get this uploaded today. I don't know. I'm having trouble getting the program to appear on the screen, and then I can't force it to quit either. So I was trying that earlier, and so I don't know if I'll be able to get it running by the normal, unless I get all my monitors working again. And to do that, I need power. I don't want to use my backup power to do that, because we don't really know how long this power outage may be. We hope it's going to be short, but we don't really, know for sure. So, and even if I get power restored, I might have some difficulty getting the uploads working again. I don't know what's going to happen. Shouldn't be a problem. But now that I've unplugged a couple of things, it's going to be interesting to see. I hope I can. I don't know. See, when the program doesn't appear on the screen, you can't get it to appear on the screen at all. You can't use the program, even though it's open. And when you can't close the program, you could try to force quit, and that's what I was trying to do, force quit. But force quit wasn't showing up on the screen either. I'm booting off my internal drive on my laptop, trying to see if I can get it. But I have a lot of windows open. That's part of the problem. So maybe I have to close the programs. But when it boots, it boots all those programs, and I can't run off the external drive without powering up all my hubs and all that. And if I power up the hubs, then I have to disconnect the monitors if I don't want them to be powered. And so, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare as far as having power, unless I back up everything, unless I use backup power for everything and power everything all at the same time, which is a lot of power. It's a lot of waste of power. So I don't really want to do that. I'd rather just run off, I don't want to have to buy a great big power battery, for backup purposes, but I might have to do that. It's something I've been postponing because I don't see the necessity. Typically every day we just don't need that every day. It's only when we have an outage. But if we had an outage for several days, that backup power would eventually be depleted, right? So the question is, how much do you buy in terms of backup power? How much battery do you need? You can always get a bigger one, and there's no limit to place on it, really. So it's April 5th, 2023. I've got the date on my two watches. This is Liv Dusty and Vostok Phoebe. The two watches I'm wearing today on my behalf, Ward Green. April 5th, 2023, 1746 hours Eastern Daylight Time, saying bye for now.